Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I am Sam Nifty Delaney. So what? Sorry for the pause. I was about to speak and I thought something's missing here. And then I noticed it was my microphone.
Yeah. Yeah, you just to reach across helps. There and bring it into line with your face.
If there's any kids, young, would-be, aspirational podcasters listening, little tip for you there. Really helps to have the microphone right in front of your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, you had it about 2 feet across to the left. Which,
it was just, it was miles away. It was facing something else completely, not my face.
Yeah, the young podcasters would be laughing right now if they're all listening. Yeah. I don't know who they are.
Dinosaurs. These jaded dinosaurs don't even know how to speak into a microphone anymore. They're yesterday's news, and they'd be right, we are.
They're so jaded, they don't have the energy to reach across and bring the microphone to their faces. Yeah, we have been doing this a long time now.
I went years ago when I was like in my 20s, I remember like going on a radio show, and I hadn't done much radio presenting, but I was a panelist on sort of like a comedy sort of let's take a sideways look at the news kind of a show, right?
Yeah.
So I thought, I was excited to be invited, right?
Was it on Five Live?
No, it was Ed, and it was on Five Live, and they invited me along, and I was really excited to be there. And the day before, they'd said, these are the stories that we'll probably be talking about, right? Mm. And I think the premise was something to do with, like, you fix the news. So they identify things that have been in the news and problems that are going on, and each of you come up with amusing solutions, right? So I really wanted to, like, make an impression because I was really pleased to be asked. So I got my little notepad and I wrote down lots of funny ideas, or ideas that I believed to be funny, at least. Yeah. They weren't objectively funny, right? And wrote down all these ideas, and I wrote down like sort of three ideas for every I reckon I was in my late 20s, and I wrote down three ideas for like every news story. And then I turned up and there was a little pre-production meeting with the host, the producer, and the other people who were going to be on it. I think there was two other people, and I think there was one guy who was also working as a writer for the show. And he was someone, I'm not going to name him, right? I'll tell you afterwards. It doesn't matter because it doesn't reflect badly on him. But I think it reflects really well on him. But I remember going, and it was a guy who I was aware of. I admired greatly. I had never met. I walk in the room, and you'll have had this yourself several times. You're in a room, you can't believe that you're working on the same level with someone who you would have previously really looked up to.
I sit down and do one of these with you, I get that feeling.
Yeah, okay. Right. So, you know, but seriously, like, you know, you're sort of like, oh, this is quite good. Like, I recognise him. He's a good guy, and it's mad that I'm in the same room as him. But what happened was he was sitting there just being effortlessly funny. Guy's probably about a good 15 years older than me, right? Mm. And the producer's gone, Sam, any ideas? And I produced my notepad. And I could see just the very, very faintest hint of a smirk at the corner of this older veteran's mouth.
Right.
Because when he saw me open my little notepad with fucking copious amounts of notes written down, right?
Yeah.
But he wasn't, he wasn't doing it in a mean way. He wasn't like smirking like, oh, what a spod. I could just see he was like, oh. And then I've gone, what about this, this, this? And I'm firing all these ideas at the producer, right? And then they go, that's great, Sam. Yeah, we'll take a lot of them. And I felt, you know, like, you know me, Andy, I like praise, don't I? I feel great.
I feel like the teacher.
I've gone, this is brilliant. They've been really nice to me. And then they say to the older veteran, right, what about you? And he kind of he goes, I don't know, yeah, those ideas are good. Maybe you could do something about this. And he went, and the producer said, tongue in cheek, Sam's just been booked as a guest on this show, right? He's turned up with all those ideas. You are being paid to be the writer of this show, and you haven't turned up with anything, right? Oh. So how do you explain that, right? And this guy just went, yeah, but what you don't understand is he's much younger than me and he's not jaded yet. He goes, he went in front of the whole room of people there, right? He's gone, I'm completely jaded. I don't care anymore. He still cares. And that is the fundamental difference between us, right? And I thought that was hilarious. But I also thought at the time, I can't imagine ever getting like that. I mean, she's fun and a privilege to do. I can't imagine ever becoming like what he's saying. But I suppose
it's like
here we
playing
are.
Playing for a living, isn't it?
Yeah. But now here we are. I thought I'd never reach that stage, but here we are. I'm beginning a podcast without even bothering to pull a microphone in front of me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not much effort I have to expend on taking part in this. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. The bare minimum. I mean, I do it in a shed in my garden, right? I'm wearing my comfy round the house clothes. And the only thing I have to do is remember to press record and pull a microphone in front of my mouth. And I couldn't even do 50% of that. If that's not jaded, I don't know what is.
Don't know what is. Do you sometimes find yourself thinking, oh, I just cannot be fucking arsed to walk all the way to that shed in my garden and do the work that
I do in the winter months. The winter months, I'll like look across, like, oh, I can't face it. I don't want to. I don't want to. I wonder if I could get my GP to give me a note which I can present to Andy. Signing me off.
I mean, I do my podcast in the house, but I do them in the corner of my bedroom, so I've got to climb the stairs.
You've got to walk over to a corner. Oh, you've got to climb the stairs. At least I don't have to go upstairs.
Jesus Christ, why
I don't know what I'd do if I had to climb stairs.
Set it up just in this room that I'm in now, instead of having to go up 14 stairs to do it. Well, yeah, I guess it's...
What I'd say is if you're listening to this for free, which this one does go out for free on a Monday, then just think about that. Think about the amount of physical effort that we jaded old men have to put in to putting this together for you. Andy's got to climb steps. I've got to walk across my garden. It's not easy. And it would be nice if you just saw fit to contribute something, even a gesture. The entry level is £3 a month. You get it ad-free and you can feel like you've done something to compensate a couple of old men who may well be dead soon. And, you know, what have we got to leave behind?
I mean, let's face it, we've got very little chance of getting employed anywhere else in the media, given the media landscape now.
Listen, we're already unemployable before we began this endeavour. Now, with hundreds, nay, thousands of hours of fucking nonsense, some of which contravenes all sorts of probably hate speech laws and all sorts of, the political correct boundaries that, may I say as well, we're all for the political correctness and the wokeness and all of that, but I approve of it, but I fall foul of it too, constantly.
I don't know what your point was you were trying to make there, but I distance myself from it, as always.
Well, all I'm saying is that we're already borderline unemployable, and now that we're carrying a lot of baggage, courtesy of this podcast, that would make us even more toxic to many employers.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Patreon thing there. If people subscribe to that, then basically our lives are in their hands. It's keeping us alive.
Yeah.
If you want to withdraw, then you're striking a blow against both of us, slowly killing us.
Yeah.
It's just one way of looking
at
it.
You'll have blood on your hands.
You will have blood on your hands. Whereas if you do subscribe to it as a new subscriber, for example, like right now, you will be doing an act of charity, almost a good deed, that you will almost certainly get to heaven for when your time comes. And you meet the big man at the big door.
The pearly gates. The big pearl necklace.
I was in Glasgow for a couple of days at the end of last week.
Great.
Because that's where my daughter's at university. And I did two things. Well, I did one thing that I've never done before, Sam, and that was to go to a classical music concert.
Oh, interesting.
And it was
together, did you?
We did. She was already planning to go, and I was going to go up and visit around about the time it was on. I said, well, I'll come on the day that it's on.
You were going to visit a roundabout? Oh, sorry. I misunderstood there. I thought that'll just about sum it up. It's like, Dad, I'm your university going daughter.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and see a classical music recital. or when you're up here in Glasgow. Would you like to come? No, you're right. There's a roundabout I want to look at in the centre of Glasgow. It's on my bucket list. So you go and see your own, whatever it is, your Beethoven and violins and that. I'll be quite happy. I'm going to make myself a sandwich and get a flask, and I'm just going to go down and look at the roundabout. Apparently, it's canny as fuck.
Going to have a ham and beetroot sandwich I'm going to make in some Hover sliced bread. And I'll have a bag of plain crisps with it as well. Maybe salt and shake, but I won't put the salt in because I find it too elaborate.
I brought me a fold-down picnic chair with me from home so I can get a nice viewing position on the road up. I'm not going to sit on the roundabout because then I won't be able to see it.
No, I'll just be able to see outwards from the middle. If indeed I could see anything, because of course...
It's going to be dark.
Lots of, like, shrubbery and that... Yeah, no, we so yeah, I said, yeah, I'll come up and have some of that with you. And it was Rachmaninoff. I'm just looking at the page that it was on.
Yeah,
it was a Rachmaninoff special. It was the Scottish Symphony Orchestra, and it was live on Radio 3 at the same time, a BBC thing.
Yeah,
and it was, are you familiar with Sir Stephen Hough, the pianist?
No,
he did the solo piano bit. He sat at the front and the orchestra all sat around him, and he came after he'd done his bit for the first half. He fucked off at half time, so he must have been maybe $9,000 for about 20 minutes.
Say your cons.
Yeah.
Invoice, yeah, PDF invoice attack. He handed the invoice to the governor, to the promoter, as he walked off stage. He shoved it into his chest. There you go. Yeah. Strictly 24 hours payment terms. Read the small print.
Yeah. So he was good, and he went off after he'd done his bit and then came back on again to receive more applause, went off again, came back on again with the conductor.
Brilliant.
And they both received more applause, went off again, came back on again, fucking three times just to receive applause, didn't do anything. But then he sat down and did a solo bit, which was Grieg or something, apparently. Some fella in the bog said later on, I was none the wiser. But he was well aware of his own worth, let's say, Sir Stephen Hough. He wasn't a modest man, I don't think.
How long was the show?
It was nearly 2 hours altogether. It was because there was the first bit, and then there was an interval, and then they did, looking at the lineup, The Fairy's Kiss by Stravinsky, which is 44 minutes. It's like a fucking Pink Floyd album. But that was really good as well.
One but song, 44 minutes.
Yeah, one song.
Wow.
Prog rock type.
Can
of
I
conduct.
Ask you what to sort of give me a price, me and the listeners, a pricey of your thoughts and feelings journey from the beginning of the concert to the end?
I got increasingly drunk, Sam.
Okay, right. But how can you get up and go and get a beer whenever you want?
Apparently not. I was told by my daughter that I wasn't even allowed to go to the toilet in the second half.
Yeah, that would
managed
bother
to hold
me.
It in.
That's like
I
the
said,
problem.
Of course
with
you can.
That's the problem with theatre as well.
You can do what you want.
How did you get pissed? Did you get a load before and just keep it by your seat?
I had two before, 2 pints before, then one just before the actual before we went in. 2 pints in a pub round the corner,
right?
And then another one in the theatre bar, and then another one at half time. Which I necked quite quickly. And I was nicely oiled by the end of it. It was really good. Really enjoyed it.
Right, okay. And did you... But do you think you can give an honest, a fair appraisal of it, seeing as you got drunker? Because for me, it is appealing. I've often thought, one of these days I'll go along to a classical concert. It'd be interesting to see. But I do get I get a bit sort of like jumpy. I get bored easily. Right. And I'm like, will I be able to sustain it for 2 hours if you're not allowed to get up and down, go for a wee, have a walk about and all of that? That's probably the thing. I can imagine being awestruck when it kicks off.
It was really impressive, I've got to say, because it was a full orchestra. And my favourite bit actually was when Sir Stephen Hoff was doing his bit where he was coming back on afterwards and getting loads of fucking applause and that. And then he sat down and did a solo piano bit. And a lot of the players, the musicians, I think they call them, down the front were women. And I saw one or two of them rolling their eyes when he kept coming back for his fucking his encore applause.
Yeah,
this is like the BBC. I think it's the BBC, the Scottish Symphony Orchestra or something. And obviously, some of them will be volunteers. Some of them will be on like minimum wage, maybe because there's not much money in the classical world. And Stephen Hoff was fucking giving it the big I am, the Jack the Biscuit of the orchestra scene. And a couple of them were like rolling his eyes when he kept coming back for more applause. It was fucking great.
He didn't do like a James Brown and sort of break down and someone had to run on and put a blanket over him.
No, he didn't need anyone to put a blanket over him, almost. Yeah. But the car had been waiting with the engine running outside at half time and he was gone. But no, it was really impressive. I would say if you got even slightest interest in any kind of classical music, get yourself along. It's generally a lot cheaper than going to see a band.
I don't know much about it all, but I have, I've heard that Rachmaninoff is quite the geezer. That's the one. I mean, who is it? What's that film about the pianist who's dead good? Jeffrey Rush is in it.
No, I can't remember. Another one you mean, though.
I think he won.
Did he become a tramp or something, the fella who was the pianist?
I think he was a tramp, but it's called Shine. I remember seeing that. Yeah. It was good. He was a tramp and then like turned he was a brilliant pianist, then he was
and
a
then
tramp.
He turned into a tramp.
And then he turned back into a pianist. I think that's sorry, spoilers, if you haven't seen it, I've ruined it for you now because
I thought you were gonna apologise to tramps
happens.
There for
Yeah.
referring
and,
to tramps.
And my mum told me a funny tramp story today. And
Cosmos
and it's a good thing about I'm pretty sure that's when I first heard of Rachmaninoff, because that's what he's really good at playing. It's the most challenging,
right? I never felt challenged. They did the Suite from the Snow Queen, which is Hans Abramson, and the Rachmaninoff one. The Rachmaninoff bit was only 26 minutes long out of the whole 2 hours, but it was Stephen Hoff who was there playing the Rachmaninoff bit. And the other stuff was just kind of filler, if you like, or, a preamble.
It's a bit like when you go to see a band, they just have a DJ.
Yeah, kind of like
that. Do you know what I mean?
But the Rachmaninoff bit was Rhapsody on a theme of Paganini. So he was kind of doing cover versions. Rachmaninoff had written this Rhapsody. I'm not sure what you'd define a Rhapsody as, but it was based on Paganini. And at one point they did a blast of the theme from the South Bank Show.
No
which is
way.
Paganini. Yeah.
Oh, I reckon they did that for you. Yeah, they knew you were in.
I was on my fucking feet punching the air.
Oh, I know this one.
Oh, this one. They're doing the hits. Come on.
Ba-ba-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah. But it was over as soon as it began, that bit. They went moved on to somewhere else.
When we went on a school trip to the Soviet Union, which I've told you about, mm-hmm. we went to the teachers, like Alan Sugar, we've laid on a trip to the Moscow.
A treat.
We've like, kids, gather around, because you've done well and none of you tried to fuck the corpse of Lenin when we took you to his tomb. We have laid on a trip to the opera, right? And the thing is, it's like, I realise now that we were hugely privileged, right?
Yeah.
Went to a very normal, comprehensive school in the 1980s when I'm sure money was tight, but somehow the school put together a trip that was more or less free. I think parents had to chip in a small amount. To visit Soviet Union.
I dare say there had been some kind of government funding almost back then.
Yeah, well, there was the London Education Authority.
Okay,
which got disbanded by, guess who? Thatch. Yeah, I think it was Ken Livingstone. And I did always think that they probably sent us there because of all the lefty teachers and the LEA were sort of wanting, and Ken Livingston wanted us to go and get indoctrinated or brainwashed by the commies. But irrespective of any of that, I was chuffed to go. And yeah. we were very privileged to do these things. And imagine that, right? None of us knew anything about opera, obviously. And we should have been delighted at the opportunity to go, but we acted like complete cunts throughout and tried to just make each other laugh all the way through and all of that stuff, right?
They were teenagers, that's what we
expected. And the thing is, this is what reminds me of you saying South Bank show, is that during the opera, it must have been The Marriage of Figaro, because in it, we're watching it, and suddenly someone starts going, Figaro, which is literally what we'd all been doing when they said we're going to the opera, right? Like, because we were 14-year-old lads, we're like going, ha, the opera, Figaro, that and Just One Cornetto, right? Because those are the only two fucking opera references we had. And one of them actually happened. And when it happened, obviously, we have fucking lost it completely, burst out laughing in this fancy fucking opera house. And we were asked to leave, and the teacher was absolutely fucking fuming with us. But that's very much like you going and seeing South Bank show. Sometimes they come up with something you know, and boy, are you happy about it.
Oh, such a buzz. Wasn't that based? Didn't Harry Enfield's Loads of Money talk about going to the opera once? And I think he sang that Figaro bit to signify what the opera was or something like that. So it must have been in the air at the time. But, it was really good. I will definitely go to other classical things, because I was going to say, this was a BBC thing, so it might have been kind of subsidised. Tickets are only like £15.
Yeah, I might
and
give it a go.
You could go to that, and then you could just nick off at half time if you don't fancy it.
Sometimes there's even local things, even if you don't go to a fancy place, like in some places.
Yeah, I'm in London, that sort of stuff.
In Barnes there's probably a fucking classical thing most nights I could rock up to.
Yeah, bound to be. Up the place you go to.
Media centre, or the arts. There's an arts centre as well.
But, you get loads of empty seats in the second half. Loads of people had nicked off. They'd come for Sir Stephen Hoff and then fucked off for the second half.
Right, he's done. Come on, let's go.
Hoff fans, they'd been around the stage door probably waiting for him coming out. No, photos. No, I'm not signing anything. It all goes on fucking eBay. I've seen what happens. Go on, fuck off.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Jalapeño.
Well, that's a good recommendation, mate, and you've inspired me. I might keep an eye out for that. Plus, it would impress the missus as well if I suddenly said, I've bought us a couple of tickets for a classical music concert. And she'll go, oh, really? What concert? And I go, well, I just told you. It's a classical music. Yeah, but what? Well... Classical. I don't know. I feel you're being a bit fussy. What do you think I am? Fucking Melvin Bragg. I don't know the fucking names of the cunts doing it. It's classical. Well, Sam, that's a bit like me saying I've put tickets to a pop concert. And then when you ask which pop band, me getting really aggro with you about it.
It's just pop.
What can I say? It's pop. What do you want to know the details for? Who do you think you are? You should just be saying thank you.
Fucking snob.
The other
thing we did when we were up there, which was good, there was a new cat cafe was opening on Friday morning. My daughter loves cats. I love cats as well.
Who doesn't? I mean, come on.
Not as much as she does, but we went along for the opening and we got there 15 minutes before it opened. Massive queue down the street. Loads of other big cat fans waiting for this cat cafe to open. So we went, fuck this. And thought we'll come back later on. try and get in later on, and we did. We managed to get in as a walk-in mid-afternoon. And as we were waiting to get in, this fella walked in off the street. And I could only describe his look as a Glaswegian Ed Sheeran. So I was trying to think of Ed Sheeran, but rougher.
I can picture that, to be fair, because of his like hair colour and everything. Sort of fits with like the Russ Abbott rendition of a Scotsman.
Kind of like that. He was a Glaswegian.
I mean, in many ways, you're describing Gordon Strachan. Oh, that said, he wasn't a Glaswegian,
No, Strachan was more pinched of feature, I would say, in his face. But just try and imagine a Glaswegian Ed Sheeran. And he came in and we immediately looked at each other, me and my daughter. And when he'd gone past, we said, he's fucking high. That bloke's off his fucking nut.
Yeah.
And he's coming to a cat cafe, which is nine quid an hour.
Makes sense.
You don't just wander in. You've got to pay 9 quid
one,
an hour.
I've been to one near us and it was really expensive.
Were you high?
No.
Can you imagine going into one while high?
Yeah, I kind of can, yeah.
I kind of can as well, and that's what happened. He was sat there at the table next to us when we eventually got in, and he just made no attempt to interact with any of the cats whatsoever. One of them came up and rubbed against him, and he just ignored it. Mm. And he was just kind of like just staring into space. He ordered a hot chocolate for himself, which he spent about 3 whole minutes stirring the hot chocolate around and around. And I thought, fucking fair play to you, mate. You're having a nice time.
Yeah, I mean, what's this on a Saturday, was it?
It's Friday afternoon.
I think what I might do is there's a new cat cafe in town. I've got nothing on, so I might get really high. Yeah. And then just take myself around there for a hot chocolate. I mean, sound like a solid afternoon.
It does, doesn't it? How can I enhance this trip that I'm on?
Yeah.
I'll sit in a room full of cats instead.
Full of lovely, docile,
fuck knows what he was seeing.
Cats. Yeah.
He wasn't seeing what we were seeing, but best of luck.
I paid a lot of money in the cat cafe for a cream tea that wasn't, you know, as a big cream tea fan.
Yeah.
I mean, one day I want to write a definitive guide to cream teas around the UK, which I think would be of huge value, and I do think that they should have more standards attached to them, because some places just get away with murder, right? But I'd had a cream tea at the cat cafe, and it was expensive, and when you're only in there for the hour, you want to make sure that the cats are providing value. I want the cats to come near me. Mm-hmm. I want them to enjoy being stroked. I want them perhaps sit on my lap, whatever. But there's a lot of people in this. There's a lot of contests for
affection. There's a competitive element to it because there's not enough cats to go around for everyone. Yeah.
Exactly. And there's not enough cats to necessarily go around. And not all of the cats are the sort of... I mean, we all know what cats are like. Like Nelson, RIP, was an extremely affectionate cat who you could almost always rely on for a cuddle or an interaction if you wanted one, right?
Mm.
Or sometimes if you didn't. Bobby, my current cat, lovely cat, but more standoffish. You know, you don't get strokes or cuddles on demand with him. He's around a lot. He's in the house, but he's just kind of like, if anything, sometimes if I go and try to stroke him or be nice to him, he just looks at me like confused. So the thing is, some cats, not all cats are affectionate. They're not like dogs. Dogs are mostly friendly. So once you've paid your money and you bought your cream tea and you're up against a load of other cat lovers, I came away feeling shortchanged.
Yeah, yeah. It's an intense sort of thing.
It's quite intense. Like I say,
it gets competitive.
So, cat cafes, they're less relaxing than you might think.
You think, yeah, exactly, because people are allowed to wander around. You don't just sit at your table and drink your cup of tea or have your cream tea. You can go around to where the cats are hanging around, where their little cat trees are and everything, and try and interact with them. And then it gets, people are like going, looking at you like, you've had that cat for long enough now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I felt that about other people. I was the one looking. There was one, I remember there was one point where I was thinking, why don't you fucking let someone else have a go? You know that's the best cat here. Release it. Do you know what I mean?
And we got in as a walk-in, and when we were in the reception area waiting to be taken into the main cafe, there was a young mum and her son came along to also try to get a walk-in seat, but they were full and they had to come back the next day. They said, well, we can't get you in. We can get you in tomorrow after 11:30 a.m. And the little boy seemed crestfallen. And after they'd gone, I said to my daughter, I said, I noticed you didn't volunteer there to let the little boy take our place in the cat cafe at the date. And she went, no, I didn't. And that was it. I wasn't prepared to do that.
That's that conversation over.
Yeah.
So my mum told me that she was at Sainsbury's in the week, and she told me two amazing stories today. I went round there. And the first one was, she said that she was at Sainsbury's and a homeless person, that's how I'll phrase it, she said a tramp, sorry mum to throw you on the bus, but that's what you said, came up to her and said, I'm awfully sorry, but can I ask you for, I've come out without my wallet, he said, right. And but she said, the thing was, he was clearly a tramp. She said his hair was scraggly, his clothes were torn, he was visibly dirty.
He hadn't come out of anywhere.
He was a tramp, right? And he said, I come out my wallet. And so she said, he said, I need to get some things in there. So she said to him, I haven't got any cash, but I'm going in there to do a shop. I'll get you a sandwich. What sandwich do you want? Yeah. And he said, oh, no, I don't want a sandwich. No. He went, I'm having a dinner party tonight, right? And she's like, right.
Okay.
And he went, and I've got everything I need. Right. He went, but what I've just remembered I don't have, and like I said, I don't have my wallet on me, is any wine. And she said,
I've got the Volavants.
Yeah.
I've got the lamb cutlets that I'll be roasting. I've got all the
ingredients for my Vichyssoise starter.
I've got a strawberry trifle for afters.
Yeah, I've even got the after eights and the Tia Maria
I forgot the fucking wine, didn't I?
So she went, right, and he went, yeah, I need to get...
would be best, please.
Yeah, she went, right, wine, I'd rather just buy you. And he went, no, I need some wine. That he went, honestly, they've got a nice, lovely bottle of red in there, £10.
Yeah.
And my mum, because she's daft, said, okay. And he even gave her the name. I can't remember what it is. So he was quite picky for a tramp. And she went, okay. Because my mum, that's just what she's like. So she went in, but then she said she wrestled with her conscience for a while. She goes to me, because also I didn't want to encourage his alcoholism. Right. I thought, well, you don't know he's an alcoholic. And then she went, yeah, but Sam, he was homeless and he was hanging around outside Sainsbury's asking strangers to buy him wine. And I was like, okay, all right, fair enough. But at the same time, I don't think you're going to cure his alcoholism like just by denying him one bottle of red that he's asked.
It's an illness and it's an addiction. And really, you should buy him wine because that's going to keep him balanced. Exactly.
I said, look, I don't think you're going to solve anything. No. I don't.
Cold turkey, that's not going to do any good.
That's not the issue here. In fact, they say that if you come off too quickly, if you, cold turkey off of alcohol and you've been drinking very heavily for a sustained period, you do get the DTs, right?
Mm.
And you can collapse and you can have a seizure. So, do you want that to happen to this tramp, man? Is that what you wanted? Anyway, she said that in the end, she couldn't do it. She would have bought him a sandwich or anything else, but she didn't want to buy him this bottle of £10 wine. So she went out a different exit to where he was standing. And she scuttled off down the street, right? And I said, why did you scuttle off? She said, because I was scared that he might come and go, oi, where's my wine? She went, because I had told him I'd get it. I got his hopes up.
Yeah.
So she had to go back to Sainsbury's, I think, yesterday, and she made Rod McDonald, the osteopath, go with her because she was scared. Yeah.
Trump protection.
She was scared that the geezer would come up and go, excuse me. You lied to me earlier in the week. You said you were getting me a bottle of wine. I waited for hours and hours, and my dinner party was ruined. The other amazing thing my mum told me was, we've got an amazing neighbour. I think he's amazing anyway, called Terry, who lives next door to my mum, and he's been there ever since we moved in like 1980, right?
Right.
And Terry was like the street governor. Right, always was. Yeah. And he's now...
Self-appointed?
No, he was a very modest, quiet, humble man. There was a few plastic hard men down our street, right? Some of them I was even related to. Some of them I was not. Obviously, this was before I became the leader of the ICF, aka Buttery Crumpet. I was just a boy, right? And there was a few, there was a few bona fide criminals in our street, right? Mm-hmm. But this guy wasn't. He was a builder. He was very quiet, and he was a big bloke, and he didn't throw his weight around. But you knew if there was trouble or an issue, come to Terry. But Terry now is quite old, right? And anyway, my mum was out with Rod, and they came back the other day, and they tried to unlock their door, but the door was bolted from the inside, right? The door was bolted from the inside. Well, my nephew's staying with them at the moment, right? Because he's working in London, so he's come to stay with them. So they thought maybe he's come home early from work, and she said in front of him, "Oh, well, I thought maybe Fred's come home early from work and he's got a bird in there with him and he's having it off with." That's his nan saying that round the lunch table, right? So he didn't.
Yeah.
Well, he's a pretty cool guy, so he didn't react half as badly as I would have done when I was a young man. She started saying things like that. But she went, so I assumed it was that. How can it be? So I called him, but he was still at work. He'd been out all day. So it's fucking weird, right? The door has been bolted from the inside. They can't get in their own house. So she remembered this had happened years and years ago in the 80s when we'd been burgled. And what happened was burglars get in another way through the back and then they bolt the front door, right?
Right.
And so you can't get in while they're going about their business. So she thought maybe that's happened. So she called the old Bill and the old Bill went, "Oh, do you know what they said?" She went, "I'm trying to get my house and my husband, but it's bolted from the inside. No one else has been in since we left." Do you know what the police said? "Oh, that's weird." And she was like, "Yeah, fucking right, it's weird." And they said,
"Tell you what, give us a ring once you've sorted it out. Let us know what happened because we're going to be curious about that."
They said, "What do you reckon it is then?" And she was like, "Well, I don't know. That's why I'm calling you." And they went, "Why are you calling us?" She went, "Because once I got burgled and this was their MO." And they went, "Oh, okay. Well, burglary is something that we have, jurisdiction over.
It's something we deal with, yeah."
Yeah. It's like fucking Chief Wiggum, right? So they said, "We'll send someone round in an hour," right?
Fucking hell.
My mum and Robin Don, they're elderly people, right? Anyway, Terry comes into this because in the end, like, they thought, we're going to have to knock this door in. We can't wait an hour. It was cold, right?
Hmm.
So Rod's tried a couple of times, but, you know, he's not a big fella.
He's fairly ineffective.
And he's old, and he's got nowhere, right? And my mum's going, "You stupid bastard, Rod, you're never going to fucking knock that door down. It's got a bolt, blah, 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 blah." And I'm thinking, no fucker's knocking that door down, especially not if it's not bolted from the inside, right? Suddenly, Terry, who I've got to tell you, so I lived next door to Terry throughout almost most of my childhood. I've known him for, 44 years, right? Probably exchanged in all that time no more than 50 words with him, accumulatively.
Right.
No one has. I mean, he's mysterious. Not mysterious, he's just, he's a cool bloke, right?
Strong but silent.
He's suddenly come out of his door, out the front, because he's heard what's going on. And without saying anything, he's pushed between my mum and Rod. This bloke's in his 80s and he's just kicked the door open with one go.
Fucking hell.
Without asking. Bang! There you go. There you go.
Sorted.
And then they've got in, right? And guess what had happened? The fucking cat, mate. The cat.
No way.
My mum's cat is obsessed with my mum and rubs like insanely, like manically, against any surface that carries the scent of my mother, right? And it also goes mad when my mum's out, and it meows and goes mad by the front door, right? So the door has got a bolt at the top and a bolt at the bottom. Like, it's heavy-duty security, right? And so the bottom bolt, the cat had been rubbing so manically against, she'd somehow managed to slide the fucking bolt into the lock and lock the door from the inside. the fucking cat. Can you believe that shit? At least that's what my mum reckons. She did call the police and tell them. The police laughed. And then Terry fixed the door up that he'd smashed in.
Oh, well, that's good. I was going to see what happened to it.
No, it was. It didn't. There was no.
No charge.
There was no damage to the actual door itself, I don't think. Yeah. He just refitted the locks and sort of made sure it was all right. So that was really nice of him.
Fucking hell.
Legend.
There we are then. I reckon that's rounded things off very nicely. And we'll just have a little update on the predictions before we go over the weekend. You got 3 points. I got 4 points. Results book got 5 points.
Oh, no. Where does that leave us?
That means the lead is now cut to 3. You're on 113. Results book's 110. And I'm on 99.
Oh.
So it's going to go right to the wire.
It's going to go to the wire. And I tell you what, I did predict that Coventry would win. They didn't win, but I'm not saying you should give me any points just for being close. I feel very sorry for Coventry. I had a feeling they were going to turn up big style today, and they did, didn't they?
They did. I mean, they came back from 3-0 down. Yeah.
That is heartbreaking. To come back from 3-0 down, then lose on pens.
A hair's breadth VAR decision at the end denied them a winner. Another reason to get rid of VAR.
After 3-0?
Yeah. They were 4-3 up in the last minute of extra time just before the pens.
Fucking hell, mate.
And it was a hair's breadth. I'm talking, it was nothing. They were level, basically.
Oh, you know what? And VAR fucking stinks. That's a golden all-time memory that everyone in the footballing community has been deprived of by that fucking Lampard robot that they've set up to ruin our sport.
And if you can see that the exact moment when the ball touched the foot of the player that played it through, what 25 frames per second or whatever we've got on footage, if you can see that is the exact moment when his foot touched the ball and that's where the players were exactly then, I don't know. I don't believe you.
And who fucking benefits? Oh, let me guess. Manchester United. VAR is shit. The game's bent. Yeah. The game is bent.
It's fucked.
And I hate it.
Football's fucked.
Yeah, I hate it.
It's awful.
That's disgusting. That would have been a moment for the ages. We'd have talked about that, everyone, not just Coventry fans, they're the ones I really feel for, but all of us have been deprived from one of those moments that you know, we grew up talking about, didn't we, moments like that.
And the thing is, VAR was meant to be a clear and obvious error.
Exactly.
When we look back.
Exactly.
And they don't. There's a goal and they go through
every
with a fine tooth comb to see how can we take away this goal?
How can we take
how can we destroy this
joint? They've introduced technology to make it harder for goals to exist. I don't understand what fucking thinking is behind. I believe that it was Arsene Wenger's idea. I'm not certain, but I'm pretty sure. Because you remember how much he used to moan all the time about refereeing decisions? So then when he quit Arsenal, they gave him a job and he came up rules and he said, why don't we get some fucking computer to disallow goals?
Yeah. Well, that's enough football talk. The World Snooker Championship's on for the next 2 weeks. Get involved in that if you're sick of football. Yeah. You'll love it. All right, so that's it from us. We'll be back throughout the week with all the other stuff. Thank you very much. And that's that.
That's that.